to the Terrordome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Terrordome.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week of Tales from the Terrordome. If you're tuning into this, it's after Christmas. I hope Santa was good to y'all. He's been good to the Hokies. Last time we wrapped, we didn't have a running back coach yet. Now we do. Norval McKenzie from Georgia Tech. All you got to hear is Jamal Haynes, and you already know this man is official, and we're excited to have him in Blacksburg. And that's no offense to Coach Brooks. He did a good job. But with the pieces that we have on staff now, that we needed somebody with a different recruiting area, and Norval McKenzie brings that here. A lot of other assortment of things have happened as we get ready for, you know, the portal and other things. But joining me today is my guy, Brian Sigla from Boundary Corner, and he's back. How we doing, my man?
What's up, man? I have no idea what's going on with this damn computer in here, but I'm glad to be back. Glad to have it here. Glad to chop it up a little bit on Norval McKenzie. Man, when I saw that hire, I was like, okay, so we're talking about at least getting the similar output from the running back room, if not, you know, potentially better than what we had with Brooks, but also, you know, reaching down into the South a little bit more than we have recruiting wise in a while. You know, when we talk about this, you know, a lot of these Penn State guys coming in, most of them have mid-Atlantic recruiting footprint backgrounds. This helps you reach down into South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, be able to pull those guys. And Franklin's talked about wanting to be, you know, you got to recruit the radius, but you also got to recruit nationally as well. And that's going to help us do a little bit of that.
No, absolutely. I mean, we thought that it seemed like Elijah Brooks was going to be retained. And then all of a sudden we see the goodbye tweet from him and we're like, oh, so now what? And then what? Less than an hour later,
yeah,
McKenzie is announced. And I always thought I never felt like James Franklin was trying to keep Coach Brooks. Like, it felt like he was trying to go down every other avenue that he could. And then it felt like, okay, so now I guess we'll just keep him. And then it was like, oh, wait, never mind. McKenzie decided he wanted to come to Tech. I don't know if that's how it went. That's the way it looked to me.
Yeah, I mean, we're not the only ones eating off of Georgia Tech's plate from a grabbing assistant perspective, but it's always good when you can go after a team that, you know, was right there for going to the ACC championship game, go and get probably their best offensive position group's position coach and bring them in house. And again, you talk about that, you add that in with the recruiting footprint, getting a little bit larger there with his background. It's a no brainer. And when we look at Brooks, I mean, Brooks obviously was very good at getting output from his position group, but it's also a position group that I think is probably the easiest to coach overall. Like, pretty much the floor is pretty high for anybody coaching that position. It's, you know, where's the ceiling? And with McKenzie and Brooks, the ceiling was pretty high. I think that's kind of interchangeable from that standpoint. But again, you get the additional recruiting footprint, you get less redundancy in the recruiting footprint that you have with Brooks now, with all these Penn State guys that already are pretty tapped in to that Maryland Catholic League that Brooks does a really good job recruiting. And the other piece of that is, you know, Brooks did pretty well in the portal, but it sounds like, you know, Franklin's got that kind of locked in as well. So
yeah, plus McKenzie's from Atlanta, born and raised.
He has
a foothold in the South, and that's great because South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, like all those places, you can be the most casual and, you know, that area produces talent everywhere. Oh, yeah. It's a hotbed of, of athletes, and we just didn't have that on the roster currently, and at least on staff. And now we do. We'll have that ability, and even Frank had that ability to go down to Delray Beach or wherever in Florida and pull people. And I know the game has changed now in Miami and Florida, and even Florida State, even though they've been down, are going to have advantages there. I think that this dude being able to pull from the Southeast, like the true Southeast, it just adds a whole nother, unlocks a whole nother element to what we're able to do recruiting wise. And that is very exciting, because when you start bringing them dudes up here, like, it gets serious. And yeah, we're in the ACC, and the league is anybody's for the taking typically. And if Dabo seems to be sliding, we saw him take a bad L yesterday to a Penn State team that hardly had anybody, including four of their five offensive linemen did not play. Like, and you still weren't really getting the Grunk, who played exceptional, in my opinion. We'll get to that. But, dude, why not us, man? The ACC looks like it could return to running through Blacksburg.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's looking like kind of the, you know, those early 2000s. It's going to be Virginia Tech or Miami. Miami obviously is the established team right now. Yeah, they probably had the best overall output as a team in the last two seasons, right? But everybody else is just kind of a guy. Like, there's not a lot of other, you know, dudes in this league at this point. Clemson taking a step back, you know, Georgia Tech staff getting poached. We'll see if they can kind of re-up and be competitive in the league again next year. You know, Pitt, Narduzzi's kind of bringing them back a little bit, but they're still not what they were, you know, a decade ago when they were consistently in the conversation for an ACC championship. Obviously, you've got UVA is a one-year anomaly. We'll see what they can do in terms of maintenance with that. But it's wide open for the Hokies, man. You know, you get the right combination of players coming in here, and you finish out this coaching staff the way we think it's going to be. We could be in the conversation right away in 2026, but we'll definitely be there you know, by 2027.
Man, absolutely. It just, I don't know. I think it's an amazing hire for James Franklin, and it just, like, it's just another step in the right direction. Dude.
Excuse my cat here, man. He's going ham.
Put him on mic, man. He's got something to say. The cat is hype for Norval McKenzie. We still got two slots left to fill, technically. Three, we don't know what they're doing at linebacker coach. It could be Pryor, might not be. Cornerback coach, yep. Kyle Whittingham, just got hired at Michigan. Just heard that he's bringing BYU's cornerback coach to Michigan, Lamar Morgan. We haven't really heard too much about our corner position, but that's a guy, like, he worked for Franklin, I think, at Vanderbilt. Would be a big get. Is really big in Texas. His top three recruits this past cycle were from D.C., Virginia, North Carolina. That's massive. Obviously, Michigan's defense is good. Their corners, like, they're always good. Like, it would just – that would be – if that is the cornerback hire, I'm elated.
Yeah. And I think you still – you know, when we look at – you know, this is a very recruiting-heavy – staff right now, but they still need some additional help recruiting the state of Virginia, and they need to have somebody that has some ties in North Carolina. Yeah, just so, like, getting guys like Lamar, Morgan in house, getting, you know, potentially a Anthony Poindexter in the house, I think that would be really big for the recruiting of the Virginia and North Carolina footprint to go along with Fontel's you know, built-in relationships that he's got in the area.
No, man, absolutely. Another option, I guess, Ryan Smith might be – who knows if he's coming back with the Cardinals right now. I can't imagine one would want to leave. the NFL to come back to college when, in my opinion, the NFL's free agency, as we'll call it, is a lot better than the what we have going on in college football right now. I don't know. And they have an actual offseason there. It just feels like, I don't know, man. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, with that, it feels like you would have to love the college game and the recruiting aspect of the college game in order to really want to come back to that after you've had some time in the NFL. Like you said, there's a lot of advantages there. If you just want to be a coach, I think that's something that the NFL allows you to be without having to deal with some of the other stuff that goes along with it. But there are guys that love the college game, love what it's about, love the relationship piece of it and building that way. I don't know if he's that guy, but yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with seeing him coming back into Blacksburg. I think it would be pretty good fit overall. He's got some additional seasoning there. We saw some pretty good output before, so I'd be down for it.
Yeah, I guess I definitely prefer Lamar Morgan over Ryan Smith only because I feel like it gives us access to a whole other section of the country recruiting wise, and I also feel like Ryan Smith was strong in like Richmond and the DMV. Well, we already have Fontel and we have several masterful DMV recruiters, including Hal and Franklin. So it's kind of like where would you want it to go? And I don't know. And I feel like he came in was at the beginning of Dorian, which was good. Dorian was amazing. He was on the tail end of Jermaine Waller, who had good seasons. So we have a small sample size of what this man has done at Virginia Tech, and it's been good. But it is also a very small sample size. So I am very open to Ryan Smith coming back to Blacksburg. But if you had me choose, Lamar Morgan would be my first choice.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as far as Morgan versus Smith. I feel like, when you look at the output and the output, while he was here, the output was really good for Smith, but it was kind of a small sample size. You like what he did recruiting-wise in the footprint, but does he reach down into Carolina as much as some of the other folks would? Because I feel like when the next guy you bring in recruiting wise needs to have some sort of Carolina connection there, because that's going to be an area we still need to recruit, that Charlotte area. We still need to recruit up into that Raleigh, the Triangle area, all that, man, Triad. You need to be able to reach down in there and get some players, especially with the Bill Belichick down in there now, being able to somewhat recruit off of his cachet alone. We'll see how long that lasts with this whole situation with with his girlfriend and not really having a great year one, man. But it's going to be real interesting to see how that wraps up. But yeah, I would lean towards Lamar Morgan for the cornerbacks coach, just because it's a little bit less of an overlap recruiting wise. And you kind of have a very recent output at the collegiate level that you can kind of point to and say, that's what we want to see.
No, absolutely. And I just want to say, either way, I will be more than good with the hire if it's one of the two. I just have a preference, like every other human, and I would choose Lamar Morgan. But we had some Penn State game yesterday. It's over.
Yeah.
Now we see what happens with the portal, with potentially Anthony Poindexter coming to be our safeties coach and whatever other title they give him. I think that would be massive. Obviously, I know he's a diehard Wahoo He's a UVA legend, but we already have one of those on staff too.
Yep.
And he likes us just fine. But like, I don't know, man, it'll be interesting to see who leaves now that it's officially over. You know, Terry Smith kept it together through the bowl game for the most part. They had a lot of opt outs yesterday, but, I kind of watched that game, and their backup O-line did pretty well against Clemson. I know Clemson had some people out, but I thought that was promising as far as like, hey, if these kids are going to portal too and you want to bring them in, like, offensive line has been the bane of our existence for a long time. So not only that, but Gronk looked good. I mean, he got killed a couple times. His receivers were – both teams were dropping the hell out of the football yesterday.
Yeah.
But I thought that he was making good throws. He had some called back due to penalty, that he was 20-yard on a rope to Rapoyer. Like, if Ethan Grunkemeyer is coming to Blacksburg, I'm more than fine with that as well. I know Bo Perbula is the bell of the ball right now, and I would love him too, but – you end up with Ethan Grunkemeyer, I think we're in a good spot. 3 years of eligibility, very accurate, gets the ball out quick, can move a little bit, not the most, I wouldn't call him a dual threat, but he's got some wiggle to him. I just think that he would be a great addition to the staff or to this team, along with like Tony Rojas, Amari Campbell, Dixon, their corner, number five. He's got to pick a different number if he comes here, because my cousin Josh Clark already rocks that. But I did, and Kamaju, the 99, the end. We need some boys on the end. We need some get men on the end. They got that speed, that are got that get off in them. We did not sack the quarterback nearly enough this year, and pressures make it easier on your secondary, man. Everybody knows this. How are you feeling yesterday watching this Penn State game?
I feel pretty good, because I was starting to circle some players. I was like, oh, that'd be nice to have. And, you know, I think they did a really good job. You know, credit to Coach Smith keeping that team kind of focused, especially in the back half of the regular season and into the bowl game, man. They hung in there. They played a pretty good game. You saw, you know, Grunkemeyer go out there and really have what I would consider a very good game against a decent Clemson defense. I mean, obviously it's not the Clemson defenses that we're used to seeing, but it's certainly a middle of the road, maybe upper middle Big Ten caliber defense if we're making the comparison there. And he went out there and had a really good outing, you know, over 250 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. You know, 66 roughly percent completion. I mean, that's what you want to see in a bowl game against a decent opponent. So he's definitely at the top of my list. I mean, you already mentioned Tony Rojas. That's a no-brainer, it feels like. Whether you want to, like, you know, depending on how the room's shaking up, obviously we saw Cam Seldon enter the portal. Do you, you know, do a retread on Matt Outten?
He needs to come home. He's a must get. Come back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you might want to go ahead and circle that one as well. I feel like that would really make that wide receiver room dynamic across the board. Obviously a lot of youth there, but you know, if you can get a Aiden Green back to kind of be the leader in the room, and you couple it with all the young talent that would be coming in, combined with what we have on the roster already, plus, you know, adding one or two guys in the portal, I think it could be a really dangerous skill position room, especially with, you know, the running back room really, really kind of set with Hawk and Overton there.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the position, obviously, we will least target.
Yep.
In the portal. That kid for Penn State looked good yesterday too. Martin, he's portaling, or allegedly going to portal, according to internet rumors, but obviously it's probably the lowest priority on our list. I would imagine quarterback and O-line are probably 1A and 1B on the list for us.
And you're going to need two quarterbacks. So, I mean, I feel like Grunkemeyer is a guy that you're targeting regardless. And you know, you kind of are seeing, are you bringing in a guy that's kind of a 1 year rental to see if he can beat him out? You know, it's a little bit of a different situation than normal with only having the one portal window, because guys have to make business decisions. Like if you're coming in for a quarterback battle and you lose that battle, you're a backup for a year unless somebody gets injured. Right. Like it's not a, I lost the battle, so I'm gonna go somewhere else where I can start. This is a bigger decision for a lot of these kids now. So we'll see if that's the direction that we head, and whether if it is the direction we head, if we're going to get, you know, two guys that have similar eligibility remaining like Gronk does, or whether it's going to be kind of a 1 year rental type guy that, you know, if they don't get the spot, their career in college is pretty much over at that point. So I'm interested to see that how that shakes out. But if you don't go and get, you know, about at least three portal linemen, none of this matters, because if you can't protect the quarterback, it's still going to be tough treading.
Yeah, I said on Boundary Corner, State of the Program, you may have heard of that show. It's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty solid. Kind of fun guys. Yeah. They like to drink and say fuck a lot, but that you know,
yeah. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, my kind of people, but, you know, four. You got to get four starters out of the portal if you can. Spend $5 to $6 million, get four starting O linemen. I feel good about Kyler Altooner at center. I thought he did pretty well last year, and I think he'll make some strides, especially with the coach that he's always had, Matt Moore, being back in the building. And it just feels like you got to do that. I feel like Johnny Garrett, you know, Brody Meadows, Laith Ganim, they can all compete for a starting spot. But at the end of the day, I feel like they're good depth for rotation reps, spot starts if need be, because, you know, it's a physical game. People get hurt before game one even kicks off. So you need an abundance of talent. You need depth. You got 105 spots. You got to really make it count on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And if you – if your quarterback has 3 seconds to throw the ball, – you're going to win a lot of games, in my opinion, if you have a good quarterback.
Yeah, let's break this down a little bit, because I'll kind of talk a little bit offensive line here, but
let's do it.
Johnny Garrett, I feel like, is a very – he'd be a quality starting right tackle. So we need to target a starting left tackle for sure in the portal. But we've already seen from this past season is that we don't have another tackle – that we can trust beyond Johnny Garrett. So you got to get two tackles regardless, because you're going to need at least one other guy that can be a swing guy, a plug guy, depending on injuries. So you need two tackles in the portal regardless, because you don't want to be in a situation where you got to start one of those true freshmen that you just signed to this class because you don't have enough guys to roll out there. So that's correct. Number one. Number two, you're right with Altooner. Altooner is going to be the starter at center. He's probably the only locked-in starter that's returning on this offensive line if we get our way, right? Johnny Garrett, you know, could end up starting at right tackle depending on what tackles you bring in the portal. You're still going to need at least one, probably two interior offensive linemen. If you can bring in two other starting caliber offensive guards, and now you got a situation where two to three guys that started on your line last year are now your rotational guys, are now your reserve guys, that's leveling up the offensive line in a very significant way. If you got Laith and Brody and maybe even Johnny Garrett being the guys that are the reserves for you, when Johnny Garrett was your damn left tackle last year and arguably outside of Altooner, probably the best lineman on your team, that's leveling up at the offensive line position. And that is where we had the most growth potential. So if you can level that up at all, quarterback play goes up, wide receiver play goes up, everything goes up if you can protect and block.
No, absolutely. Nah. It just makes everything a lot smoother when you don't have any problems up front. And That would be great, especially if you're bringing in Grunk, who's not like the most mobile, but he's one of the most accurate. So if he has time to sling that ball, and I saw him make some good throws yesterday under pressure. Like, he was about to get killed and he still stood in the pocket and delivered a strike. So that was good to see from a redshirt freshman. He had a lot of poise. Obviously, Prabula can move. He can run. His legs might be better than his arm. I don't know. He threw a lot of picks last year. He was very hurt, though. So yep. He was compensating, trying to make plays. And when he was with Franklin originally, his stats, albeit a very, very small sample size, were way, way different. He only threw one pick to like five or six touchdowns versus 11 touchdowns to nine interceptions. So,
and operating in a new system, so that there's something to be said for that as well.
Yeah, I feel like the Howell system would be a lot more familiar if he's the one they bring in. The dream is both of them. I don't know how you do it. I don't, like Chris said, you tell Ethan you pay him $2 million this year, and if he sticks around for another year, he gets $3 million or something. I don't know. You got to incentivize sticking around, but I don't know. I'm good with either.
I'd be good with either. If you told me I had to pick one or the other, it's Grunk. Just because you get him for 3 years, he's a 3-year solution, not a 1-year solution. You know, with that being said, I could really see both of those guys coming in, and you know, you may lean Prabula for 1 year if all things being equal, just because of the experience that he has at this point, playing a few more games than Grunk, and you probably have a little bit better command of what Ty Howell's trying to do offensively.
Yeah. Luckily, both dudes have been around him and know what he likes, so that's also a start in the right direction. That's a good step in the right direction. Defensively, that Dixon kid, he was all over the field. I like him as a corner. He's young. Like I said in the intro, like, he wears number 5, so they're going to have to change that because that's Josh Clark, Jay Cinco. But that's not a problem. There's plenty of swaggy numbers out there to choose from. Kamaju, end pressure is something we drastically need. We did not have last year, and we need some game wreckers coming off the ends, along with Tyson Harley, who we talked about on State of the Union or State of the Program, being a kid that might play or could play right away. But, yeah, if you got some bona fide studs in the pass rushing department trying to come to Blacksburg starting January 2nd, drop that bag, baby. Pay him.
Yeah. And, I mean, looking at the defense, I mean, we talked about Rojas. We talked about Amari Campbell. Yeah, I think those are two names to watch. I'm interested to see how many edges jump in the portal with Penn State, how many are going to end up looking at Blacksburg. I feel like we need probably two edge guys to add into what we have on this team. Obviously, the defense is moving more back to a Price-style system, that hybrid 4-3. So you're going to have more traditional edges versus some of what we saw this year with a little bit more dropping into coverage from those guys. So I'm interested to see how that works out. And I'm interested to see from a portal standpoint, you know, we talk about this is going to be a heavier portal year than probably going forward for James Franklin. And you know, whether he leans on the portal a little bit more in Blacksburg than he did at Penn State, that's a possibility overall, but I think this is going to be kind of that anomaly year. Yeah, I could see us grabbing 30 plus kids in the portal, depending on how many portal outs we have, right? Filling out that roster. But I could see us leaning pretty heavily on the Penn State guys this year, whereas going forward, I don't think you're going to see us really targeting Penn State players specifically. Because, I mean, this is the roster that he built. at Penn State. So it makes sense, you know, leveraging those relationships as much as possible, especially for kids that are already looking to move on from Penn State anyway. You know, you're probably not going to have that in, you know, after year one with Matt Campbell's team at Penn State. Most of the guys that are going to stick around are sticking around because they either love Penn State or want to play for Matt Campbell. The guys that are leaving right now either want to play for James Franklin or don't want to play for Matt Campbell. So you got a unique situation to leverage this year with looking at Penn State's roster that you probably won't have going forward.
Yeah, it gives you a good chance to add depth on our team everywhere. Zariah Fisher, edge rusher, just hit the portal for Penn State. He's a name to watch. I think he's probably coming to Blacksburg. I don't know that for sure, but it just seems like he's following James Franklin, which is good. He's got experience, older kid, need it. Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see what all happens. I'd like to get some tight ends from that room.
At least one.
I think Rapoyer is staying at Penn State. I don't know, but Luke Reynolds, Virginia kid, former five-star, please come home. You hit a spin move yesterday that made me, I was like, I'm sold. Come home. I got tight ends hitting spin moves on defenders.
Yeah.
And it works. Come home.
Yeah, it would be nice to see the tight end room really kind of grow. Obviously, with Monty, we talked about this on State of the Program. Like, we knew Monty coming in was not going to get the tight ends involved in the passing game very much. Basically red zone only. And sometimes usually with that, it's really off of kind of misdirection and stuff like that. It wasn't just, you know, we weren't running a ton of like, hey, just go up the seam and we're going to throw you the football. Like there wasn't a ton of that. And really, I mean, when you look at guys like Gosnell, like that kind of that out and seam, were where Benji made his hay, you know, under our man Tebow, but you know, we didn't really see a ton of that in this offense under Monty. I'm interested to see how much of an impact Ty Howell has on getting the tight end room really involved in the offense again, because that I think that was sorely missing. And when your tight ends can get involved in the offense, it helps the wide receivers a lot. Like, you know, you say it's taking away targets, but at the same time, it gives the safeties and the linebackers something else to look at. And that gives your wide receivers more one-on-one opportunities, which is what you want.
Yeah. And also, Rojas posted a picture like an hour ago of him and Campbell with like the smirk emoji. So it makes me think they're a package deal. In the portal, maybe not, but I would like that. If we get both of them and pair them with Noah Chambers and whoever else, brother.
Talk about leveling up that room right away. Man, that would be sick. That would be sick because that room would go from probably the biggest weakness on the defense to maybe a overall strength. I feel like we had a lot of younger guys playing that position mixed in with older guys that had experience but not necessarily lived up to any potential that they had. We won't name names here, but I think everybody knows who I'm talking about. And it'll be nice to have guys coming in that have pretty good foundation, have shown the ability to play the group and pair them with some of the guys that have shown very early promise in kind of limited activity. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. I know there's still some run it back conversations that are still happening. We got about 5 days for those to, you know, flesh out. And then we start seeing what January 2nd brings us. Obviously, we've already got some folks that have, you know, thrown their name out there for the portal, but I feel like we'll see, you know, the rest of those guys hit there. And that's when the magic will start happening. We'll start seeing, hey, here's the guys that are sticking around. We know these guys. We know that we'll have this, you know, X number of guys coming back on the roster, and we'll know what that's going to look like filling up. And then we'll see our man Colby start throwing out some lists of where those offers are going. And hopefully we see a whole lot of green, man.
Yeah, dude. Shout out shout out Colby Kornacki, Colby Crawford, the list and map wizard of the transfer portal. Get them fingers ready, brother, because you're going to be typing and creating and clicking and editing and changing and refreshing. It's that time of year. Portal Santa is on the way. Brian, man, I appreciate you taking the time out of your Sunday, dude, to come on here and break some of this down with me for the people. We're going to be busy. Probably going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of new information coming out every day, every hour. Like, it's going to be crazy. So there's going to, the content gods are about to bless us. And I'm excited to walk this path.
Yeah, man, it's interesting because we kind of, when this season started, even like good, bad, or ugly, we kind of expected this to be that purgatory off season, and then it got so bad so quick. You know, you get an early firing that sets you up to get James Franklin, and now you get an off season that, you know, should be pretty rowdy, both from an expectation standpoint, but also from a news standpoint, with new coaches still getting announced as we're heading into, you know, the first part of January coming up. And, you know, we're going to have a nice little 2-week portal round robin. That's going to be fun to cover and fun to talk about. And we actually got, you know, pretty good basketball team to kind of float out there from time to time. We got the big UVA game coming up here shortly. Hopefully Toby LaWall is back for that one. I feel like he is kind of the glue guy on this team, just from a rebounding and defensive standpoint, being able to stretch the offense with his ability on that end. So, I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff coming up to talk about content-wise. So it's going to be a fun winter, I feel like. More fun than I think both of us anticipated.
Yeah, thank God. Hey, man, I appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be back on here soon. Interested to see the last couple pieces of the coaching staff filled out, and then you'll have a bunch of support staff, and the portal will open, and hopefully this team is a contender in the next 3 weeks from now. So,
yeah, it's not going to take much to be a contender in the ACC the way things are kind of shaping up. So,
facts.
If Franklin can do what we've seen him do consistently in his career, I think we won't have a problem having a roster in 2026 to be competitive in the ACC, even with a brutal road schedule that we have.
I agree, man. And as always, brother, go Hokies.
Go Hokies.